We're going to have a fun time today. First thing I want to do is you're going to turn to your neighbor. And some of you, I know, when I say that sentence, your heart just drops. You're like, oh, no. It's okay. It's a safe place, all right? And I'm up here, so I don't have to do it. So I want you to turn to your neighbor. You're each going to get 30 seconds. Turn to your neighbor. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell them about the most annoying coworker you've ever had. All right, 30 seconds each. Most annoying coworker you've ever had. Go. I mean, I want good ones. I want good stories. Now, wait a minute. I see some husband and wives talking to each other. That's cheating. All right, you have 5 seconds left if you're going first, so get it in. Get it in. All right, you should be switching now. Next person, 30 seconds. Tell them about your most annoying coworker. I mean, get them good. Get them good. 5 seconds. Okay. All right, be wrapping it up. I know it's so fun to... I mean, I gave you a good one today. Everybody loves to complain about their coworkers. I will say this, though. No, I should have given you this warning. Some of you are sitting next to your coworkers. I hope you did not complain about each other. And if you did, I hope you used code names like I did last week. But we do. I mean, this was an easy one. I mean, I noticed I didn't have to coach any of you. Talking began instantly when I gave you the time, and it's because we kind of like to complain about our coworkers, right? It's kind of fun. I mean, we spend a lot of time with these people. I've talked about 2 weeks ago. A third of our waking hours as adults we spend working. One third of the time we're up, we spend working. Some of us spend more time with our coworkers. If you really do the math, you spend more time with your coworkers than you do your friends or your family. Because most people don't see their friends every single day. Maybe you have little kids, they go to sleep, you know. So you see your coworkers more than you even see family. And they get on your nerves, right? This is a response day. You can be honest. Yes, they drive you insane. Okay? Exactly. And we have a lot of cool complaints, a lot of crazy complaints. I'm sure you guys shared some. I want to share a few with you that I found on the internet, as we showed in the video earlier. It's a great contraption. You should discover it. Couple things I want to share with you. These are actual complaints. These are real. These are not made up. Actual complaints that are submitted to HRs around the country. Here's a couple of them. Number one, employee. These are real complaints somebody submitted. The employee is too suntanned. All right. That was one. That was actually a complaint from the cast of Jersey Shore. Number two, employee wants to check a coworker for ticks. I like this one. Number employee suspected coworker was a pimp. How would you know? Number four, employee is so polite that it's infuriating. Now, you laugh, but you know that person, don't you? At your office right now, you know who I'm talking about. The last one, employee is trying to poison me. Now, the weird thing is, these are all actually complaints TJ's had about me. So, but we all have, you know, different complaints, all that kind of stuff. I mean, you had no problem thinking of them. But I was thinking about it the past couple of weeks. I was preparing for this message. It kind of occurred to me that I think you can take most of the complaints we have about our coworkers, and you can really put them in two broad categories, all right? Number one is we get annoyed by what they do, okay? There's some action they take, some action they don't take, something that bothers us. We get annoyed by what they do. Number two, and you may not have ever thought of it this way, but it is, we are jealous of what they get. We're jealous of what they get. All right, the annoyed one's easy. You understand that. You're annoyed because you know, you don't understand why they do the things that get on your nerves. You never do them. It doesn't occur to you. You can't fathom why someone would talk that loud on the phone. Why on earth do you need to speak that loud when you're on the phone? Why on earth do you need to make food that smells that bad and then eat it near me? Why do you insist on walking in my office without knocking? Why? Knock. It's not that hard, right? But the jealous one, you probably never thought about it before, but I want to kind of help you unpack it. You're jealous of what they get, all right? You're jealous because sometimes maybe they got the promotion and you didn't. You understand that one? Maybe they get to have a flexible schedule and you don't get to have a flexible schedule. Maybe they hang out with the boss sometimes after work and you don't. And that bothers you because you think you're being slighted. All right, but we all have these bad coworkers. I used to have a guy. He was one of those constant complainers. You guys familiar with these people? Saturday Night Live does a skit called Debbie Downer. He was Debbie Downer. No matter what happened, he could spin it to how it made his life worse. If there were a career to be had in pity party planning, he'd be a millionaire. He's not at all, but he would be. He'd be a millionaire. So, you guys understand, you have these people, you know, you have these things in your life. You have these folks you deal with every single day. They cause you stress. They cause you tension. You go home and you're so mad. You don't know what to do. You drive home. You know, you just can't wait for that drive home. She can blare the radio, roll the windows down now that it's actually nice in Myrtle Beach and every human being on the planet has decided to come this weekend. If you're a tourist, I love you. We're happy you're here. But I want my roads back. So we get annoyed by the people. We get annoyed by what they do. They just bother us. Those things that are just so inconsiderate. We cannot believe they are doing that to us. Or we get jealous of what they get to do. Because they get to do it, I don't get to do it. And I'm jealous. So I'm annoyed. I'm jealous. And at the root of both of those problems, both of those issues, is the same thing. It's selfishness. They're both rooted in selfishness and wanting to make me happy. Listen to this. We get annoyed because people aren't doing what I want them to do. Right? If they just acted like me, then we'd all be fine. Or you're jealous because someone else got what I wanted. It should have been given to me. I, me. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to unpack that because I truly believe God has a better way for us to live at work, at home. We're going to focus specifically on work today. But God's got a design. I'm telling you, man, if we can discover this day, if we can grab it, if we can get a hold of it, not only will it change your life, it'll free you up. I mean, it's freeing. It's fantastic. So we're going to dive into that. We're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture in the book of Matthew. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are four accounts of the life of Jesus. We're going to be looking at the book of Matthew. And the story we're looking at today is Jesus is hanging out with the religious leaders of the day that didn't really like Jesus. Okay? They didn't like who he was. They didn't like what he was saying. And actually, what we see a picture right now. The best way I could describe it is imagine a politician doing a press conference, okay? And he's giving the press conference, and the media are trying to give him a question that's going to trip him up. You know, they want to get that sound bite so they can run it. And that's what they're doing to Jesus right now. They're trying to trip him up. They're trying to get him to make that silly sound bite that they can then run over and over and over and over and over again on talk radio and all that kind of stuff and make him look dumb. They didn't really have talk radio back then. That was a joke. So here's what they asked him. They said, Jesus, because that's how they talked to the Son of God, because they thought they were better than he was. Yo, Jesus. And I can just hear it. They're basically like, look, they roll their eyes. If you are who you say you are, whatever. They say, what is the greatest commandment? And they said it, and the crowd went, ooh. Because that was a big debate back then. And there were a lot of opinions. And some guys would say, well, maybe these are a little more important than others. You know, maybe it's a little more important that I don't murder as opposed to how I plant my crops. Maybe that's a little more important. But nobody would take a stand. See if you can relate to this. No one would take a stand because there was such diverse opinion. They were afraid that if they took an opinion this way, they might make these people mad. And so instead of being a man and having a real opinion, they just said nothing. I'm not making any comments about today, by the way. So, they ask him this question, fully expecting him to not really give an answer. I kind of sidestepped the issue. But he's Jesus, and he doesn't. Matthew 22 is where we are. And this is where we're going to start. Matthew 22, starting in verse 37. This is what Jesus says. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And they all just kind of went, "Yeah, good call, you're right, yeah, wow. Impressive, Jesus, that's a good answer. There's really, what can you say back to that?" He basically says, this is it. Love the Lord your God, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. They were silent. Nothing else to say. Then, verse 39, this is where he kind of blows their minds. 39, "A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Two things there. The second is equally important. What Jesus is saying is this. As important as it is that you love me, that you love God, Jesus is saying it is just as important that you love your neighbor. Not a little bit, but as you love yourself. And then just to really put the pressure on, he wraps it up this way, verse 40. "The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." Basically, everything that God wants from us in life can be summed up right there, is what Jesus is saying. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I don't know about you, but for me, when the King of the universe, the man, the author, the perfecter of our faith, do the die for me, when he stands up and says, "Oh, by the way, this is the most important thing," my ears go, "Hmm? This is the most important thing? This is it. Everything you ever wanted me to do in life can be summed up right here?" I listen. And I pay attention. And I start to think about it. Start to dwell on it. Okay. Most important thing. Love God. I understand that one. Love God. Sure. Even if I'm checking this God thing out, even if I'm, you know, experimenting, trying to find my way, I understand the concept of, okay, I'm in church, I'm going to listen. There's this God guy who has sacrificed for me. Sure, I understand in principle. Okay, I'm supposed to love him the most. That makes sense to me. But it's number two. This question where he says, equally important, just as important as the first one, is that you love your neighbor as yourself. Well, again, because Jesus tells me it's the most important thing, I kind of got to figure it out. I got to dig a little deeper, right? And I don't know about you, but I have two questions when I hear the most important thing, love God. Second most important thing, just as equal as the first, love your neighbor as yourself. I have two questions. Two questions. Question number one, who's my neighbor? Pretty important, right? Pretty important. If my neighbor is my wife, home free, done. My neighbor's my kids, home free, done. I love them like I love myself, sure. I probably love them more than I love myself. Woo, thanks God, I'm good. So, we ask the question, who is my neighbor? Well, so did these guys. I can't read the passage because it was actually in a different account. We're reading the Matthew account. The story is also told in Luke. All right? And in Luke, what happens is the second Jesus says this, one of the guys asks, "Now wait a minute, Jesus?" I'm sure he got up, introduced himself, said his name, where he was from. "I have a question. Who is my neighbor?" And everybody's like, "Ooh, good question, good question, good question, good question." And like I said, I can't tell you the story. It's in Luke 10. You can go back and look at it later if you'd like. Basically, this is how Jesus answers the question. This is what he says. Everyone. Absolutely every person on the planet is your neighbor. And actually, the way Jesus answered the story, because he's awesome, is he basically painted it to where, because what he did is he told a story, then he asked them, I don't know, who do you think's your neighbor? And the guy that had to answer the question felt really bad, but he basically had to say the person, the tribe, the sect, the racial group that they hated the most was his neighbor. All right? That it would be like, let's be fair to both sides. It would be like if Keith Olbermann and Rush Limbaugh had to agree to be neighbors. All right? Had to agree to love each other like they love themselves, which is a lot. But that's what Jesus, you just got that. Yeah. I'm saying they both really like themselves. So, that's the answer to the first question. My neighbor's everybody. Okay. That's tough. But, okay, I can roll with that. Now, let's go to part B. Let's go to the second half of this. Question number two is, how do I love myself? Because I don't know about you, but when I hear this passage, when I hear love your neighbor as yourself, first thing that comes to my mind is, oh, goodness, that means I've just got to be absolutely crazy about everybody. I've got to love everything about everybody. I've got to think everybody's awesome. I've got to do all this. And I immediately tap out because I can't do it. You know, I know that people are going to annoy me at times. I know it. And so I walk in defeated to this love your neighbor as yourself. And if any of you have been raised in church, and maybe you've heard this passage before, I would bet you had the same reaction. You were a bit defeated. You're like, man, that's impossible. I can't do that. There's no way I can like people that much. But see, what I want us to do today is really examine what it means to love ourselves. Because I think Jesus is saying something different here. Okay? Think about it. Think about really how you love yourself. I can only speak for me, obviously, because I'm not in your head. But I can tell you right now, I don't always like everything about me. And I'm not talking about like insecurity stuff. I'm talking about, but I'm just being in general. I don't like everything about me. I'm not always happy with my actions. A lot of times I'm not happy with how I acted. I get frustrated with myself. I get frustrated that I overreacted to a situation, or that something came out of my mouth before I thought about it. I get frustrated with myself because I do stupid things. My kid would say, Daddy, stupid is not a good word. It's not, but I do stupid things. I do stupid things sometimes. And when I do, I get angry at myself. Not just frustrated, I get angry with me. In no way, shape, or form do I think I'm perfect. In fact, I'm probably more aware of my flaws than anyone else here. So, when we think about it that way, loving your neighbor as yourself is a little different. Because I just said, we love ourselves, but we get frustrated with ourselves. We don't think we make the right decision all the time. We get angry. Because I'm assuming I'm not alone, by the way. You know, we get mad at ourselves. Some of you even talk to yourself. I know you do. And it's kind of weird. So it must be different. This how we love ourselves must be different. Now, as I studied this week and as I prayed, I really feel like God kind of revealed something to me. And it's this, okay? Despite all these things that I said about myself, that I know every flaw I have, that I know I make mistakes, that I know that I'm going to say dumb things, that there are sometimes I get so mad at myself for what I said and how I handled a situation, here's what I know. I always, 100% of the time, give me the benefit of the doubt. I 100% of the time choose, hear this, to believe the best about myself. Here's what that means. Here's what I mean by that. Okay? Here's what I mean. Let's go back to the work situation. Okay? Let's say I'm the one at work that gets something good. Let's say I get a raise. I get a promotion. maybe I get the corner office. I don't sit around and think to myself, well, I didn't deserve that. I can't believe he got that. No, I think it's about time. Of course I deserve this. I work hard. You don't know what I go through. I love it. I needed this. Did you like that? That was a risk. I'm glad you liked it. You know, I understand that I have a unique circumstance. And I've talked to the boss, and he understands. And he's allowing me to have this flexible schedule. You think it's a perk. It's really not a perk. I just need it because I have something else going on. Or the annoying thing, okay? When I'm at work, I do things that bother other people. Shocking, I know. But I do. You maybe don't, but I do. I do things that bother people, but I know it's never my intent to do it. I don't mean to get on their nerves. See, I can excuse any action I make. I can excuse any good thing I get. I deserved it. I didn't mean to annoy them. I'm sorry. 100% of the time, I extend that courtesy to myself. And what Jesus is saying here is that mindset, that grace, that forgiveness, that understanding, that willingness to believe the best that we give to ourselves on a daily basis, we have to extend it to others. That is what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves. And for those of us today who are attempting to live our lives following Jesus Christ, that means this includes our coworkers. Remember we talked about a few weeks ago, we're going to be rewarded for our obedience, and God doesn't compartmentalize. God looks at the whole picture. So we might spend our time with our wife and our husband and our kids, man. We might do everything we can to love him. We might serve in the community. We might do all this stuff. But that big chunk, that one third of our life, that big piece of pie right there, God's saying, that matters too. I care about that piece. So that means those people at work that drive you insane. Yeah, love them like you love yourself. Because here's what I know. As I said before, I'm annoying. Okay? Hi, my name's Trey, and I'm annoying. Nice to meet you. You know what else I know? You are too. You are too. Each of us have things that we do at work or at home that annoy other people. Here's what I know. You don't do it on purpose. If you do, you're a weirdo. Stop. But you don't do it on purpose. You don't want to bother other people. But here's also what I know, because you're human. There's people at work, there's people at the office that do things that annoy you. Don't lie. You are 100% convinced they do that thing just because it's going to bother you. Right? I'm going to let you in on a secret. They don't think about you near as much as you think they do. I know it's shocking. I'll be here afterwards for counseling. But the world does not revolve around you. It doesn't. You know, even though when you were a baby, we literally did put something over your crib that revolved around you. Wasn't a good idea. But the world doesn't. Those people aren't trying to annoy you. I promise. Now, in terms of the things we get, again, we get good things, love them, we're happy about it. But you know what? The other people at work, they don't see it that way. When you get a good thing, they get mad about it. Because they're jealous of what you're getting, what they're not getting. And so, again, take a step back. Be happy. Here's what I want to do. I want to help you guys put this in context. Okay, because right now I still feel like it's kind of up here. All right, I feel like it's kind of up here. And what I want to do is I want to bring it down here. I want us to really understand what it means to love our neighbor, love others, as we love ourselves. Because that means we give the same understanding. We give the same understanding to them, hear this, that we demand from them. It's not like this is a one-way street. We expect it from them, but we don't give it to them. And we give it to ourselves. So let me give you a couple of tips for loving your neighbor at work. A couple of tips. Well, this is going to, we're going to flesh this out a little bit, okay? Number one, and this is as practical as I can get it. Number one, when someone annoys you at work, which will happen tomorrow about 9:04, when someone annoys you at work, here's what I want you to do. Put yourself in their shoes and make the excuse for them that you would make for yourself. It's that simple. When someone walks in on their cell phone talking loud enough for the whole office to hear, okay, before you get annoyed, before you turn to your coworker and say, can you believe he's doing that again? Before you do it, make the excuse for them that you would make for yourself. Hey, it's an important phone call. I had no idea I was talking that loud. I was in the car and the music was playing and I just, you know, or the person was yelling at me or, you know, the person is on an airplane and they can't, I don't know what it is, but make the excuse you would make for yourself. And here's the second part, okay? If you can put yourself in their shoes and you can say, you know what, if I was doing that, I wouldn't want somebody to tell me to stop doing that. You know what? Tell them. Just don't be a jerk. You know, it's very simple to just walk up. You know, I'm actually not going to do it because there's no way I can do it without mocking it. But you can. You can just nicely tell someone, look, I know you've never thought about how awful that food smells, but it reeks. Like, it's awful. It stinks for days after you eat that. Is there any way humanly I will buy your lunch. Is there any way possible you cannot eat that in here anymore? Just ask them. They may say no, whatever, but at least you did your part. And you aren't sitting there grumbling and complaining and being annoyed by them. Love your neighbor as yourself. Extend the grace you would want them to extend to you. Number two, this is a hard one. Ooh, this is hard. This is only possible, by the way, through a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to throw that in. This is not something we can will ourselves to do. Especially this one. Number two, learn to be happy when other people get good things. Learn to be happy when other people get good things. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. But we do. We have to learn to be happy when other people get good things. Because what happens when people get good things? We get jealous. I wanted that thing. When the truth is, 90% of the time, you had no idea it existed. You didn't know it was even, but then they get it and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I want that. But we have to change because you know what? If we had gotten it, we'd be pretty stinking happy, right? If we had gotten it. So if we're going to love people as we love ourselves, we got to learn to be happy when they get it. And here's number three is really the one. I'm going to have to explain it. But number three is the one that's kind of going to bring this home. Number three, we have to stop viewing the office, stop viewing work as a zero-sum game. Probably don't know what that is. A zero-sum game is any kind of game or anything you're playing where there is a finite, limited number of resources, okay? And every time you get, it's in direct proportion to how much your opponent loses, okay? Be like if you had a piece of pie, or a whole pie, and you and somebody else were seeing who could eat the most, okay? The more they ate, the less you could get. And the problem is we view our work as a zero-sum game. We view work as there is a limited number of good that exists here. And anytime someone else gets a piece of good, I lose a piece of good. No matter what it is, the flex schedule, the promotion, whatever it is. But that's how we think. Their good gain is my bad gain. But the problem is that's not how it works. Because the good things we get, we think they come from our work and our boss, but last week we learned that our boss is actually God's servant and our boss is working for him. And oh, by the way, week one we learned we're really working for God too. We're really not working for that guy. We're working to please God. And guess what? God's infinite and God's blessings are infinite. And so just because somebody else gets good doesn't mean you're going to get bad. Somebody gets good and you're obedient, you're happy for them because they got good. God's going to say, that pleases me, and boom. More blessing. And it's a mind shift. It is a conscious decision through a relationship with Jesus Christ asking, can you please transform my mind to allow me to genuinely be happy when other people get good things and genuinely be happy for other people? Because when we do, you know who else gets more happy? more happy. Is that right? Happier. You know who else is the big winner? We are. Because we're living our lives more in line and in accord with God's plan. And every single time we do that, it results in better. I'm not going to say better than what, because it's just better. Every single time. There's a reason John 10:10 says, Jesus says, I have come to give them life and give it to them to the fullest. When we learn to love our neighbor as ourselves, and we'll never get there, by the way. Don't confuse yourselves thinking you'll ever perfectly get it, but we can get better. As your relationship grows and Jesus changes us more and more, and we become more and more like him, you find yourself in the office when that person is making that food, you're like, oh, that smells good. It doesn't, really. But you're happy for them because they enjoy it. And you know they're not doing it to bother you. It's their favorite food. Maybe it's something their grandma used to always make for them and it reminds them of her. Who are we to question that? Who are we to deny them 10 minutes of a nice day because we're being selfish? And here's why all this really matters. Okay, yeah, I want you to be happy at work. Yeah, I want you to get along with your coworkers. Sure. But the reason Jesus said, this is the most important thing. Love God, love others. The reason he said this above all else, you can take everything in the Old Testament, it all points to this, everything I'll ever want you to do in life, all is this, love God, love others. Here's why. As a Christ follower, I have a job to do at work that's more important than the work I do at my job. Ooh. I have a job to do at work that's far more important than the work I do at my job. And that job is to represent Christ. That's the most important thing. Yeah, we talked 2 weeks ago about working hard at work. Yes, you're supposed to work hard. You're supposed to please God. But Jesus just told us the most important thing we can do is to love him and to love other people equally. Because you can't do one without the other. You can't love God without loving other people. And you can't love other people without loving God first. Let me say that again. Hear me. You cannot love God without loving other people. I grew up in church. All my life, I've been in church. And all my life, I've seen people spend thousands of dollars to get on a plane and fly to South America, fly to Africa, fly to Eastern Europe, and spend a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks of their time on a mission trip ministering to those people, which is fantastic. But then they come home and they constantly complain about their coworkers and they make fun of them and they're miserable. And what Jesus is saying to us today is you don't have to get on a plane. You don't have to fly somewhere. Each of us who follow him and believe in him are missionaries every single day. He's put you there. Sometimes, from time to time, people ask me, hey, what's Wellspring's vision for missions? That's it. Be a missionary where God's put you. Some people that will be, he'll send them to Africa. Some people that means working at Soho. And what God says is the most important thing, love him, love other people. Extend that grace to them. That's how you get along with your coworkers, man, is you love them. You make the excuse for them you make for yourself and the people you like. And we do it for one simple reason. We do it out of obedience to God. We do it because we know that we have a job to do there. We have a job to do at work that's so much more important than the work we do at our job. So here's my challenge. Tomorrow, as you're driving to work, you have a choice to make. Ask God as you're driving to work. God, today, I can't promise I can do it for a week, can't promise I can do it for a month, but I'm going to try today. I'm going to try today with your help. Please don't let it be soup day. But with your help, I'm going to try to love those people as you want me to. Pray for them on the way to work. It's really hard to get mad at somebody you've prayed for. I'm just telling you right now. Pray for them by name on the way to work. The more they annoy you, the more you pray for them. But I'm just telling you, watch what happens when you embrace God's plan. Watch what happens. It'll change your life. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much, Father, for this opportunity we have to learn about you, Father, to understand your plans that you have for us, your desires, your will, that we treat others with respect and with dignity, Father, and that we love them and that we represent you to them. Father, I beg that each of us will commit not to speak about Jesus until we have shown Jesus to other people. It's in your name we pray, Father. Amen.